What's in store for 2019 as far as the economy, your family's budget, the economies of Ohio, the nation, the world, conditions facing governments and industries? Today we engage in our annual early year visit with Dr. David Burson, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist for Nationwide. We'll talk about jobs, interest rates, securities, commodities, and a host of other financial and policy topics. It's All Things Economy today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
Today, we are happy to welcome back Dr. David Burson. He is Nationwide's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist. This is our seventh year in a row, which coincidentally is the same number of consecutive years that the Buckeyes have had their way with David's alma mater. Dr. Burson worked in various capacities in the private and public sectors, including Fannie Mae, Wharton Econometrics, the Federal Reserve, the Council of Economic Advisors, the Treasury Department, and the Office of the Trade Representative. His undergrad work was at Williams College, and he earned his master's and doctorate from the University of Michigan. David, welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. Sorry about the little football jab there.
Joe, it's good to be here, but I do have one question.
That is?
Why is Ohio State hiring all the defensive coaches at Michigan when you scored so many points last year?
I hadn't thought about that. Next time I talk to Ryan, I'll ask him about that. So we always start off with looking back at the previous year, but it occurred to me, David, that we've had a number of economists, yourself, a bunch, and others, and we start talking about economic subjects, and I've never really sat down with an economist and said, what's that mean? What do you do? How do you do what you do? So maybe give us economics and being an economist 101.
Sure. Now, I'm a business economist. I work at Nationwide, and I've worked at other businesses in the past. And a business economist is different from an academic economist or a government economist, in that we could be the best forecasters of GDP, what's happening to the overall economy. We could be the best in the world, but so what? There's no company that sells GDP. None. And it doesn't matter how big you are. Nobody sells GDP. So what a business economist does, it takes the big, what's happening in the overall economy, jobs, unemployment, interest rates, and translates that back to the company level, or at least the industry level. What does it mean for Nationwide if I think that the Federal Reserve is going to tighten monetary policy this year? What does it mean for Nationwide if I think that auto sales will go down this year? That's the real value that a business economist can bring at the corporate level.
Now, I have heard about behavioral economics, and my layman's version is, how do I, as John Q. Citizen, respond to economic signals? Did I get that right?
Well, behavioral economics is looking at how people actually behave as opposed to how theoretically they should behave. Economists, when they get their PhDs, are given lots of theory about how people optimally should behave. And that's the way people should behave. But do they actually behave that way? Often, no. Often, they don't behave as they should. Often they don't behave in their best interest. They do things that are suboptimal. So behavioral economics often is doing experiments to see how people actually behave as opposed to how we think they should behave.
Can you think maybe of an example, David, of where somebody does something that perhaps isn't truly in their own best economic interest?
Well, an easy one to look at is in investing. People are far more afraid of losing money than gaining money. So, you know, over the long run, the stock market's going to go up. But people are so afraid of losing money that even if they have a long time horizon, they usually will put less into the stock market than they should because it might go down. Well, if you need the money in 20 years, it doesn't matter much if it goes down next year.
So you work at a very high level. I mean, the Federal Reserve and Nationwide, for crying out loud. But for those of us who don't have your understanding of it, Can you give us a tip or two that as just Joe Sixpack would help us make better economic decisions?
Well, it depends on who you are, what your time horizon is, what you're looking at. It's a pretty broad question. Behave like the economic man you should be. Look at what the benefits and costs are of different activities. It's easy to say, but people need to look ahead. Don't look just at tomorrow. Look farther ahead. What's your time horizon? You know, we mentioned this a moment ago. If you're not going to retire for 20 years, does it matter what the market's going to do next year? You don't need the money for 20 years if it's in your 401k. Look long term.
Very good advice. Dr. David Burson, who is the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist with Nationwide. So let's get back to what we usually do with you, and that's to help folks understand what the economy may look like and what some of the things might be coming in 2019. And I, one thing I have learned is that economists, as they're forecasting, they start with looking back. So give us your overview of what the economy did and looked like in the past year, 2018.
Economic growth in 2018 was the best in this entire expansion. For GDP growth, you measure it end of year to end of year, it was over 3% for the first time since 2005. So it was a really good year for the economy. The unemployment rate fell under 4%. We haven't seen unemployment rates that low since 2000. And looking forward quickly, I know we'll talk about that. I think it's going to fall further this year, perhaps to the lowest levels since the mid-1950s. So the economy's done pretty well, helped certainly by tax cuts, helped by world economy that was growing at least in the first half of last year. That may be something that hurts us going forward, and helped by continued low interest rates, even if they moved up over the course of the year.
Were there any significant differences in the smaller economy of Ohio? What's happened locally over the past year compared to maybe what's happened nationwide?
Well, Ohio grew reasonably well in 2018, unlike some of the previous years where Ohio had grown a little faster than the national economy. Ohio grew a little less quickly than the U.S. did in 2018, not significantly less. It was still a pretty good year for economic growth in Ohio. Unemployment again fell. Incomes grew. Perhaps not in the farm sector, but in the non-ag sector, incomes were up. So it was a decent year for economic growth in Ohio, perhaps, though, not a great year.
You mentioned as one of the factors that influenced the economy last year, the tax cuts of 2017, which then were implemented over this last calendar year. Talk to us a little bit, if you would, Dr. Burson, on how that played out. What did those tax cuts mean for businesses, for consumers?
Well, most of the tax cuts were on the business side. There were some on the consumer, on the household, personal side. Most of it was on the business side. And businesses did respond by increasing investment spending. They did respond by hiring workers. And they did respond by increasing capital expenditures, although perhaps not as much as we hoped they would, and maybe not even quite as much as we thought they would. But there were tax cuts on the personal side as well. And people saw that by their withholding. Less was withheld over the course of the year because their tax liabilities went down. Now, we'll see that even more at the beginning of 2019 as people start to get tax refunds. Tax refunds will be fairly big this year, and people are going to see bigger returns from the IRS than they've seen in the past. What do people do with that? Most of them will spend it. So we're going to see a pickup in growth because of the tax cuts, because of the increased money you'll get back on your tax return. But it was also spent over the course of 2018 as people had more disposable income, as less was withheld over the course of the year.
I always ask you about the Federal Reserve, and last year was kind of the first year for Jerome Powell. What did the Fed do last year that was noteworthy?
Well, the Fed did what they said they would do, and that was they raised interest rates in a fairly restrained way, but an ongoing way. The Fed is attempting to take what is now excess liquidity out of the economy, but was not excess after the end of the Great Recession, trying to make sure the Great Recession, didn't become Great Depression too. But at this point, all that liquidity probably is excessive and simply steers investments incorrectly. You want to get the market back to what the market is doing. So the Fed raised interest rates four times over the course of 2018, a full percentage point increase in short-term rates. And so they did what they said they would do. No surprise.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we've always talked about how the Federal Reserve operates independent of, well, supposedly independent of the political world. So for the first time that I know, we had an administration, a president who very specifically disagreed with some of the things going on at the Fed. Now, I'm not going to ask you to speak specifically about President Trump's actions. You can if you want, but in more broad terms, what are the consequences when the political leadership is trying to have a little bit more sway over the Fed than they traditionally have had or maybe should have?
Well, I'm not sure that this hasn't occurred in the past. I think it has occurred in the past. I think it's just been a little less public than it was in 2018. You know, if I were the president, I would like economic growth to continue, certainly through the next reelection cycle. And if the Fed tightens monetary policy, there's a risk that the Fed could tighten too much and slow economic growth. And there's a risk that, in fact, if it tightens way too much, the economy could stumble into recession. We don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but there's a risk that could occur. So I think anytime that the Federal Reserve is tightening monetary policy, whoever is president probably correctly should be at least somewhat concerned. Although when the Fed tightens monetary policy, it's usually for a good reason, that inflation is picking up, there's too much liquidity in the economy, investment decisions are being made, not on the basis of true economic value, but simply because money's too cheap. And I think that's why the Fed is tightening now.
I guess that maybe did sound a bit naive on my part to think that there's never been those discussions, that they probably invite them in through the back door at the White House as opposed to calling them out on Twitter, but I get it. Are you comfortable that the system is such that the Fed can continue to operate independently of the political leadership?
Well, it's not clear the Fed is ever been completely independent of the political leadership. I mean, the Fed is chartered by Congress. It has mandates that Congress has given it for unemployment, for stable prices. And the Fed operates knowing what those mandates are. So in that sense, they're not independent of the political leadership of the U.S. Having said that, I think that the Fed will do what it thinks is correct for the health of the economy and meets those congressional mandates.
We are chatting with Dr. David Burson. He is the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist of Nationwide. When we get back, David and I are going to look ahead to 2019, what's in store on the jobs front, unemployment, what the Fed may be doing with interest rates in the years ahead, and I want to get more on what David said, that a recession may be coming, but it's not coming anytime soon. I'm going to ask him for a specific day and time so that I can prepare appropriately. We'll be back with David Burson on Town Hall, Ohio, right after this. What's in store for the economy in 2019? That's where we're headed next with Dr. David Burson, Nationwide's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist. So let's just start with a general outlook, David. As you and your colleagues at Nationwide and you do your research, what kind of year is 2019 shaping up to be?
Well, the good news is I've got a coin in my pocket and we can flip it and do a new forecast.
Perfect.
Right here. We think 2019 will have growth that's not as rapid as 18. Now, clearly, we've got worldwide uncertainties, for example, with trade, although hopefully that will be resolved to some extent this year, but I think it's probably going to hold the economy back early in the year. We have the Fed tightening monetary policy, and while they may tighten at a slower pace in 19 than 18, I think rates will be higher over the course of the year. the tax cuts themselves had their biggest impact in 18 and the beginning of 19, but over the course of 19, the tax cuts, the expansionary impacts of that will slowly diminish. All of those things suggest that economic growth this year, while still, I think, decent, will be less than last year.
I want to back up. I should have asked this about 2018, but as you just said, it's going to apply in 2019 too. Give me an economist's view of the trade disputes that we're currently having with the Chinese and what's going on there, the implications for business and consumers in Ohio and across the nation.
I think all economists would agree that completely free trade is in everybody's best interest. We'll never get completely free trade. So having as free as you can, lower tariffs, fewer non-tariff barriers, is good for all nations. Now, it may not be good for everybody in a nation. You know, if you're in a business that can't compete with similar businesses abroad, you may lose your job. And part of the problems that we've had over the last 50 years is we haven't really taken very good care of those people who have lost their jobs. We should have, because free trade is unambiguously positive for the U.S. economy. The president has said he wants to lower tariffs. He wants to reduce non-tariff barriers. And the way he's doing it is by raising them to force other countries to negotiate with us. We hope that that is a plan of attack that works. We'll see.
What's been your experience as you've looked at these tactics in the past? Do they work? Do you end up with some kind of positive gain for the United States?
It's never been tried this way before. Certainly countries have raised tariffs and non-tariff barriers in the past, but not as a negotiating tactic to get true negotiations to get them to be lowered. So we don't know. Clearly some businesses, farmers, for example, have been hurt, at least in the short run, by rising tariffs. Hopefully it will work and we'll see tariffs go down significantly worldwide as a result of this.
David Burson's the chief economist and senior vice president at Nationwide. We're looking ahead to 2019. So growth is your overall forecast, albeit slower than what we've been seeing. Monetary policy that will be moderate for the most part. Lots of ifs out there on trade and such. Let's translate that into a couple specifics. What's the outlook on jobs in 2019? I know that towards the earliest part of the year, end of 18 and early 19, the jobs report just blew the market away. Do we continue to see this just rapidly expanding employment?
So we've had a number of years in a row of very strong job gains. And in fact, last year, despite stronger economic growth, the job gains were better than we expected. You know, you'd think in the 10th year of economic expansion, with unemployment below 4%, we'd start to run out of workers. Well, we haven't. We're seeing more workers coming back into the labor force that had dropped out. So what economists call the labor force participation rate, the share of people in the working age population that are actually either working or looking for a job, has gone up. So people are coming back into the job market. And that suggests that there's more room for job growth than we thought. It also suggests, importantly, that the unemployment rate may not fall quite as quickly. That may be a good thing because it's a sign that people are coming back into the labor force. And so we think the job market, while perhaps not as strong, particularly not as strong as the end of 18, is still going to be decent in 2019.
Tell me what you just said about unemployment, maybe not dropping as much as thought, and that could be a good thing.
So normally you'd say, if unemployment falls, it's got to be good because there are fewer people without a job. And in general, that's right. But if the unemployment rate falls by less because people who hadn't even been looking for jobs decide, the job market looks pretty good, I'm going to start looking again. And initially, they don't get a job because they're going to look. So the unemployment rate might go up, as it did in December with the numbers we got last week. Well, the unemployment increase in December wasn't a bad thing. It was caused because people came into the labor force who hadn't even been looking before. And that's a good thing. So if unemployment falls by less than we thought, because people who had been sitting around decide, I'm going to go get a job, that's a good thing too.
So the Fed, you said they did what they said they do last year. What have they said they're going to do this year?
That's a very interesting question because it's not clear. They haven't said yet this year. The last thing that we got was in December, when if you look at the forecast of all the Fed policymakers, the middle of that, they thought the Fed would tighten 2 to 3 times this year. Since then, we've seen, at least at the end of last year, the stock market drop sharply. And, you know, you have some concerns when the stock market drops sharply. People may decide to spend less money because their wealth has gone down, and maybe that slows economic growth. And so the Fed has said, look, if the economy really doesn't grow as rapidly as we thought, maybe we won't tighten as much as we thought at the end of the year.
I want to follow up on that and a variety of other subjects when we get back to the show. Dr. David Burson is our guest, Nationwide's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist. We'll be back with more of Town Hall Ohio right after you listen to this.
Spending money, money to burn. Money that you did not necessarily earn. Rainy days seem to wind up sunny. Long as you got a little spending money.
David Burson's back in the Town Hall, Ohio studio. He's the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist for Nationwide. David, glad to have you back with us for our seventh year running. We were talking about Fed policy before the break. As I talk to farmers, business people, one thing that they place a premium on is certainty. They like to know what's coming down the road. You just got done telling us that the Fed hasn't exactly signaled what's coming down the road, that they're going to be more reactive to what's going on in real time. So what's better, to have a Fed that's tempered in making decisions or tells us what's going to happen and then carries through?
Well, if we really knew what would happen in the economy, then the Fed would know exactly what policy to do. But we don't know for sure what will happen with economic growth. We don't know what for sure will happen with inflation. And so Fed Chair Jay Powell has said now a couple of times, I think fairly strongly most recently last week, that the Fed is going to be data dependent, that the Fed anticipates tightening monetary policy in a measured way this year. But if growth is faster than the Fed thinks right now, if inflation is higher than the Fed thinks right now, it may tighten more rapidly. But if economic growth is less rapid, if inflation is lower than the Fed thinks, then it will probably tighten less rapidly. And ultimately, you want a Fed that actually responds to economic conditions, not just stays the course because it thinks it should.
What's their guesstimate as of now on inflation? Do they usually have a target, right?
They have a long-term goal of inflation of 2%, and that's one of the mandates that Congress has given them, to have stable prices. And the Fed has decided that, in fact, you can't have zero inflation, which would be the definition of stable prices. But 2% inflation is close enough to meet Congress's mandate for them. So a 2% goal. And the Fed thinks that, at least looking at core inflation, because the Fed can't control what's going to happen with oil prices, but taking that out, that core inflation, underlying inflation, will probably be about 2% in 2019. So they're pretty close to meeting that goal. We think that overall inflation may move a bit higher. We think oil prices move up, and we think core inflation may be a bit higher than that as well. And if it turns out to be a little higher than the Fed anticipates, we could see a little bit more tightening than the Fed is saying right now.
We have talked on past shows about something called consumer confidence. Talk with our listeners here for a moment, David, about what that is. How's it measured? What's it defined? Why does it matter?
Well, there are two big surveys of consumer confidence. The Conference Board does a monthly survey of consumer confidence, and that school up north does a survey of consumer sentiment every month.
That's from an alum, by the way, folks. I'll just throw that in there.
They're both very good measures of how households feel right now. And they're asked every month a series of questions about how they feel, whether they think it's a good time to spend on big ticket items like houses, like cars. And an index is put together. And these surveys have been done for decades. So an index is put together of sort of an amalgam of all their answers. And when the index is high, it suggests that consumers are feeling good and they will spend. When the index is low, it suggests consumers are very worried and they won't spend. Right now, the surveys say that consumer confidence has come down from its peak of a few months ago, but it's still historically high and suggests that consumers will still spend freely, at least in the first half of this year.
So you're an economist, not a political analyst, but the presidential race already is starting to gear up. As you look at pre-election impacts on the economy, is there the possibility that things happening in that space will translate into some kind of influence over how the economy develops in the coming year?
It's way too speculative to know what sort of policy things will come out in the next 2 years.
The 70% top end tax rate is one that's already been pitched, although that's not from a presidential candidate.
I would say that with the president of one party and a Senate that is in a majority in that president's party, but has less than 60 votes, so can't stop filibusters, and a House of Representatives in the other party, there will be very few major policy changes in the next 2 years.
One item I want to just touch on, we focus so much on the U.S. and Ohio to some extent, but over in Europe, Britain leaving the European Union continues. Just give us a quick couple of thoughts on what's happening there and how that might influence what happens here in Columbus or Cincinnati or Cleveland.
So Brexit, the United Kingdom leaving the EU, will have significant impacts in the UK, will have significant impacts in Europe, but very small impacts on the US. And I think in Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati, people are simply not going to even notice anything at all. But in the UK, particularly with the way Brexit is being done, I think you could have some significantly negative impacts in the short run economically, as well as in Europe overall.
We're chatting with Dr. David Burson. He's the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist of Nationwide, and we'll be back to hear more from David in just a couple of moments. Might remind you that if there are some shows in the past you've missed or find one particularly compelling enough that you want to go back and listen to it again, you can look up Town Hall Ohio on iTunes as a podcast or visit townhallohio.org. We've got shows archived there. More with David Burson right after this.
Congress calls this a recession, but it smells like depression to me.
So that's a little overly pessimistic if you've been listening to David Burson. He says there might be a recession coming, probably will be, but don't look for it to creep up on you tomorrow. David Burson's the chief economist at Nationwide and back with us to look ahead to some things happening in 2019. David, I want to talk for just a few moments about where what's going on in the equities market. If 2017's trends would have continued, everybody could retire 10 years earlier than they planned. 2018 started out pretty good and ended horribly. What was the big cause of that momentum reversal in the stock markets last year?
Well, the stock market looked pretty good. End of January, beginning of February wasn't very good. It went back up after that and looked pretty good into November. What caused fall off? Nobody knows for sure, of course. What are the suspects, though? The market might have thought the Fed could be tightening too much. And the Fed reemphasized that it thought it would be tightening monetary policy several times this year. Trade and trade wars, certainly on the minds of market participants. And negotiations were not going well with trade at the end of last year. And the concern was that perhaps not only would tariffs stay, but they would get worse over the course of the year. And that would slow the economy down. And growth abroad slowed, and that would slow the U.S. economy as well. So all those things brought estimates of earnings down and caused the stock market to fall towards the end of the year and actually fall a lot in December.
So there's a question about bull market or bear market and when the bear is coming. It's been a bull market since early and mid-time 2009. We've had a tremendous run. You're starting to hear, though, could there be a bear market coming, a recession coming? If you've only been investing since 2009, this past year or two has been a little bit of a shock for you. What's a bear market look like? What might be coming around the corner without asking you to specifically say when?
So the Wall Street definition of a bear market is when the broad indices fall by more than 20%. And we were within a smidge of that a couple of weeks ago. We were just a few points away from a 20% drop from the high, but we didn't get there. So we've never officially, or at least we have not yet, fallen into the next bear market. We do occasionally get bear markets, but only very occasionally in expansions. Normally, they come in recessions. But not all recession gives you a bear market either. Sometimes you just get a drop in the stock market that's not severe enough to be a bear. Nobody can predict whether we'll go into a bear market in the next recession or not. People will say they can, but you know, you can guess now, bear market or not. If you say yes and it happens, you're going to say, what a great forecaster I was. If you say no and it doesn't happen, again, you'll say, what a great forecaster I was. But what we do know is that the trend for equities when the economy is growing is upward. Not every year. Sometimes equities go down when the economy grows. But in most years, when the economy is growing, the stock market goes up. And we expect the economy to grow this year, which means the odds favor an increase in the stock market. They don't guarantee it, but they favor it.
So if the economy is expected to grow this year, at some point it's going to reverse and start to contract, and that's what we call a recession. I joked earlier that you were going to be able to give us the exact day and time that that will begin. Nobody can do that. What do we need to be watching? What will help us understand that perhaps a recessionary period is about to begin or has begun? I want to know about it before it begins, but
the best signal, and this is probably something the stock market responded to later in December, is what economists call the yield curve. So you look at all the Treasury interest rates, from very short-term rates to very long-term rates, and normally longer-term rates are higher than short-term rates because there's more uncertainty, particularly about inflation, the farther out you go. What's inflation going to be next month? Probably pretty close to what it is this month. What's going to be in 30 years? I don't have a clue, nor does anybody else. So there's much more uncertainty. So interest rates are typically higher the farther out you go. But sometimes it goes the other way. That curve inverts. And short-term interest rates are higher than long-term rates. And it usually happens when the Fed is pushing up short-term rates. And that's been a great leading indicator of recession. The yield curve got it's still very flat, but got really flat at the end of December. It didn't invert. It was not the recession signal, but it got really flat. So what do you want to look for? When the full Treasury yield curve from 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, 5 year, 10 year, 20 year, the whole thing inverts. It's a great signal we'll have a recession anywhere from, say, 12 to 18 months later. So you'll have some time to prepare.
David Burson, our guest. He's the chief economist for Nationwide. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're having our annual visit with Dr. David Burson, the chief economist and senior vice president Nationwide, in the studio with us. So, David, we at Ohio Farm Bureau Nationwide have a long, long history dating back to the 1920s when the Farm Bureau formed a mutual company. It eventually evolved into Nationwide. You folks are still very close to agriculture, as, of course, we are here at Farm Bureau. It's not been pleasant the last few years when you're talking about the ag economy. Any rays of sunshine out there that you can deliver today?
Well, the pain has been felt, I think, more severely on the grain side than the protein side. And that's because farmers, not only in the U.S., but around the world, have been so successful in growing huge crops. And it's supply and demand. And when supply is very abundant relative to demand, prices go down. So we've seen prices fall, particularly for soybeans, where so much of the world now is being able to produce bumper crops. Add on to that tariffs with China and the price that American farmers can get for soybeans have gone way down. Not quite as bad for some of the other grain crops. Soybeans is the main one. And again, not nearly as bad for protein, chickens, beef, pork, because there's not as much of a surplus there. What will happen in 2019? If the weather's good, we'll produce bumper crops again. The key to what happens, though, will be what happens with trade and whether there will be a more freely flowing market, particularly for soybeans.
And it's worth going back. So much of a farmer's bottom line in many cases is influenced by interest rates. A real quick look at what you told us earlier about interest rate expectations this year.
I think interest rates will be higher over the course of the year, but not a lot higher. We're not looking for any surge in interest rates, in large part because we think the Fed will be restrained, but also because inflation is not going to soar. So increases in interest rates, but not big ones.
The agriculture and food sector is the largest sector of the Ohio economy. Another major part of the Ohio economy is automobile manufacturing. And it's still to this day floors me to hear the GMs and the Fords of the world say, we're going to stop making cars, or we're going to SUVs and pickup trucks. What's the outlook for the auto industry here in the coming year?
You know, there's a reason that the Fords and the GMs of the world are saying we're going to stop producing automobiles and produce light trucks. So people are buying light trucks and they're not buying automobiles. In fact, auto sales are down pretty close to about as low as they've been this entire expansion. Like truck sales are the highest they've ever been. People want light trucks. So they want pickups, they want SUVs, they want crossovers. They don't want sedans so much. So I think we're going to continue to see that sort of shift away from autos and towards light trucks. Now, overall, we've probably seen the peak in light vehicle sales. But unless the economy drops off in a recession, which, again, we don't anticipate for this year, there's no reason to expect that light vehicle sales are going to fall very much in 2019. We think they'll just be a tad lower.
How about your industry, insurance and financials, an outlook for 2019 there?
You know, if the stock market goes up, it's pretty good for financials. And again, with the economy growing, the odds favor the stock market going up. But again, no guarantee there, because occasionally in a growing economy, the stock market goes down. People need insurance. There are going to be more people in homes at the end of 2019 than there were at the beginning. There will be more people who have cars at the end of 2019 at the beginning. There will be more businesses at the end of 2019 than at the beginning. All those things suggest that there will be more need for insurance products.
And all the things we talked about, go back, and what's the single most important thing that you and I have discussed today that our listener needs to take away as far as positioning themselves to be successful in 2019?
We will eventually have a recession. It's very unlikely it's going to be in 2019.
Well, that was pretty simple. Can we get you on the schedule for next year already?
Absolutely.
Dr. David Burson, a longtime guest on Town Hall, Ohio, and shout out to a mutual friend, Jeff Reel, at our flagship station, WTVN. You're going to have to tell me some Jeff Reel golf stories one of these days.
I have lots.
I'll bet you do. Dr. David Burson, our guest. He is the chief economist and senior vice president at Nationwide. We thank him for being in the studio with us, and we thank all of you for tuning in today on Town Hall, Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.